Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dope!
Velger.
Oh, you idiot!
Mass.
Holy crap!
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We went through it the other day with Bob, so we've penciled in all the starts from now to the end of the year, barring performance issues or injuries. So far, the performance has been excellent. Injuries, good, so... We're going to try to stick to it. I'm not going to go through every game, but for the most part, Tuukka has a few more than Halak, but we're not going to run Tuukka into the ground because Halak's played very well. We're fortunate. Halak's going to go tomorrow, and then we'll go from there. But I would guess Tuukka would, what do we got left, 17? It's probably 10 and 7 maybe now, maybe even 9 and 8, but it won't be like 12 and 5. Probably 10 and 7, if I had to guess right now, is how we have it scripted.
All right, Velger and Mass Math there. We talked about this yesterday. Bruce said that yesterday. Was that before or after we did our segment?
I don't know, but we almost exactly the same numbers.
So as DuPont writes, Tuukka's got to play two of the last three games. You know, two out of every three games down the stretch, get as many as he can to get past Toronto for home ice. We both looked at that and said, what? It's just the opposite with Rask. His history is the more rest he gets, the better he is, and you've been in this great spot here. You know, the silver lining between Rask sucking to start and then having that personal issue, and Halak's good play, between Rask's benching and personal issue, his game started are way down, which is like, that's a gift. Take it. Don't ruin it. Don't pound him now. Down the stretch, go easy. He has 35 starts with 17 left. 9 is the number for me. 9 and 8. And even then, I wouldn't be afraid to flip that and give Halak the 9. I would not be afraid whatsoever. If it's all sewn up the last week of the season, easy. Go easy, easy, easy on Tuukka Rask.
I mean, to me, it feels like that, you know, 9-8 is the way to go. And that's, again, that's only if you need the games at the end. You may not even need those. So it should come in under that. Anything more than 10-7, I mean, that's a slight variance, right? So we're not going to lose our minds over one game in either direction. Anything over that, though, is too much.
Yeah, the less the better. I mean, it's been proven. It's statistical fact. The less, the better for Tuukka Rask. Like I said, for this week, and you look outside of tonight, which should be a tough game, Carolina's won 5 straight. The rest of the week, don't even play him.
It is reassuring, though, because they're on it.
Totally.
They're on it, right? Like, you look at it and go, okay, good. They're seeing it the right way. Like, you know, they're not getting any sort of emotional bias because Rask is appealing to them or anything of the like. It's, nope, this is what it's going to be. This is how we're going to do it. This is what it's worked all year.
So we raised that yesterday. Cassidy addressed it yesterday. He addressed it again with TNR this morning. We'll get to that in a minute. More on Bruce Cassidy and TNR this morning. This is what I thought was the most interesting comment that he made. We talked about the lineup. When David Pastrnak comes back, what do you do? I mean, they're scoring great. They're playing great without David Pastrnak. Danton Heinen's up on that first line. We all know their problems with secondary scoring last year when they got to Tampa. And the David Krejci line. And is Marcus Johansson good enough for David Krejci? And what do you do there? Because before the injury, Pastrnak was getting shifts with David Krejci. They'd sort of split that up. And I thought that was the right move. So what happens when David Pastrnak gets healthy? Cassidy addressed that this morning with TNR.
Depends a little on the timeline. If there's time before the end of the year, probably with Krejci, because we never got a real good look at that. And that would move Johansson down with Coyle, which we'd be interested in seeing. If it's right at the going into the playoffs, you know, if there's something that lingers there, it might have to be with Marsh and Bergie, because that's where he's had his most success. He's going to be a little behind. I don't care how much time he missed. You're going to be a little bit behind, so I think it'd be easier for him to catch up. He has more familiarity with them. So some of it will have to do with how many games we have left when he gets back in.
Okay. And hearing the Pastrnak stuff just pisses me off all the more. He's going to have to play with Fred was talking about play with a brace when he comes back. So even when he's back and playing, he's going to have this thing on his hand?
Yeah, Sweeney had indicated that, yeah.
Ah, feh. All because he couldn't make it to the Uber. That's great. That's great. The team's got a real shot, and your best player is flopping around out there. But either way, so I found that interesting. They want to see him with Krejci. I like that.
Me too.
I like it. And you've got to embrace the quiet one up there on the front line there, Maz. You've got to embrace that.
He's been basically a point a game guy since they put him up there. So the point is, if this makes him a better team, then you do it. If those two guys up there, Marchand and Bergeron, can elevate Heinen to the point where like the line doesn't really slip much.
The offensive production is the same.
So then you keep doing it.
Yes.
It allows you to put Pasternak somewhere else and give you better depth.
Yes.
Not to mention the fact that he'd move Johansson down with Coyle. Did you see some of those numbers on Coyle today, too? Like, they're playing him basically 5 minutes more a game than any other third-line center they put out there this year?
Correct.
There's a huge benefit to that.
Which cut. So, I mean, I have a thought on that in a second. But, well, just Johansson with Coyle I like because now you got potentially three lines. I mean, let's see. I still think you're dealing with now 2.5, which is still an upgrade from the 1.5 you were dealing with. But, you know, slowly you're sort of filling out your lineup. And I think Johansson down there gives him a little more depth. I know I feel like maybe I've gone back and forth on this a little bit, but I do. If I'm pressed, I want Pasternak with Krejci. I do. And if you get down a goal late in the game and you got to move Pasternak up, move him up.
You put him with Bergeron and Marchand.
On the power play, Pasternak's with Bergeron and Marchand. Obviously, like all that. But 5-on-5 for 60 minutes, I want him with David Krejci.
Oh, but that'd be a good line, too, with DeBrusque on there, too. I mean, that could work. You know, when Bergeron was out, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't Krejci and Pasternak together for a good chunk of that?
Yes.
And it worked.
Yes. Well, fits and starts. But, so I'm with Cassidy on that. But Cassidy also says it depends what he looks like. If Pasternak is sucking out there and he needs a security blanket of Marchand and Bergeron, okay. Now your team's weaker because he couldn't make it to the Uber. So, Jen, that's not a good story. It's not good. Hopefully they can survive it, but we'll see. But I like that. I like Cassie's willing to admit it, too. They want to see Pasternak more with Krejci, and they want to see Johansson with Coyle. Johansson and Coyle, real quick. I've looked at some of the numbers you did. Maybe there's one of the stories we're both reading, not just about how Coyle's presence has allowed Cassie to play Bergeron about a minute less per game.
Yep.
Because in the past, Casty, and I don't blame him, had no faith in that third line for Sbaka, Carlson, Frederick, whoever was down there, to take defensive zone faceoffs in a key part of the game, and so he'd throw Bergeron back out there. And since Coyle's back there, because he's a legit actual NHL center and a legit third line guy, top nine guy, that now Cassidy's confident putting Coyle in all those situations, and now you're preserving Bergeron. Good little side benefit.
Excellent.
There. Okay? And I see it there with Coyle. I see some of the things. I've been reading about Coyle, and I won't give you the numbers. I didn't even bother to copy them. But apparently, like, his Corsi numbers are great. His possession numbers are great and all that. And you can see it watching it. He controls the puck well. And I think it looks good. And I've liked the look of Johansson as well since he's gotten here. It'd be nice if those guys started scoring a little bit. I mean, does Johansson have one assist in the three games or four games, something like that? I think Coyle zeros across the board in the four games. So to really justify it, they got to start denting the score sheet a little bit. That's the last step for those guys.
Well, so I wonder with the third line, though, like if they can play just tread water, doesn't that help the Bruins because they were so useless?
Yes, from what they were, yes.
Like it just allows them to win the game with their top two lines. Like, what, there was a stat in one of those stories that you just cited. Forsbacka Carlson took something like 67% of his faceoffs in the offensive zone.
Because they didn't trust him on the D.
Right. They go back in their own zone, and Cassidy was practically reaching over the bench to drag him off the ice, for crying out loud. So now at least he can leave Coyle out there a little bit more. So in theory, all those Corsi numbers should translate into goals, right?
So that's what I'm saying, that the trades have already had an impact. They've already added value to the whole lineup. That fills out the lineup. It's more legit top to bottom. It's helped them. Now you need to see a little impact. Okay, you got to get some points. Would be next for those guys. Finally, this is sort of a side topic, but I found it interesting because Cassidy's on something so interesting to listen to. Carolina has this thing going on. We haven't talked about it. Their home games, they've started to do this thing where after they win a home game, they all come back out on the ice a couple minutes later and do some sort of big group celebration. Like picture these NFL touchdowns where they all get together. They pantomime hitting a home run. They pantomime bowling. And I'm just making this up now. They pantomime the limbo. They like all sorts of like 6-12 deep sort of group celebrations. That's become a thing, and it's pissed some hockey people off. Don Cherry laid into these guys a couple weeks ago, calling them a bunch of jerks, or more than a couple weeks ago. But it's become a thing down there in Carolina.
Yeah, now they actually flash like the logo, bunch of jerks, on the ice after games and stuff. It's great.
I think they have T-shirts, bunch of jerks, whatever. So it's become a whole thing down there. They don't do it on the road, God help me, Right? I mean, I'm just asking that rhetorically. There's no way they do that on the road.
And throw stuff at them.
I mean, there's no way they're going to step out in a crowd in Boston or Philly and start waltzing around the ice. Like, there's no freaking way.
Oh, no, no. People would throw stuff in Boston. They would literally get hit in the face with a moist sausage.
They'd be dodging debris out there. There's no question. So it's just a home thing. It's not a factor tonight. But TNR asked Cassidy about how he felt about the Carolina celebrations down in Carolina, and this is what he said.
I'm not a huge fan, but I get it. They're in a market where they're, you know, they're a little tougher to draw fans, so I you know, it keeps them around. So I think most teams are long gone by then. They're in the dressing room, so they don't even see it. So not a big deal. I don't know if they'll do it in the playoffs. That'll be interesting, but we'll see. Take it in.
Not a huge fan, but I get it. I just like Cassidy. He's just sort of tells it like it is there. But not afraid to say not a huge fan. In fact, he's not a huge fan of goal celebrations in general, what the league has become. Go.
If you saw one of your own players try to pull something like that off, would you have a word with them?
I would, you know, I think our leaders would, to be honest with you, they'd recommend they don't. You know, there's celebrations now in the game. That's where it's changed a lot. I think you used to score a goal, you'd go hug the teammate to pass you the puck or, you know, something like that. Now you jump into the glass, you see that. I don't know if that started with the Washington Capitals there years ago or some guys take off a football, wide receivers that started that. I don't know, but that's enough for me. I'm a little old school that way. I think you should go to your teammates first, personally.
God bless him. I love Cassidy.
He's a breath of fresh air, isn't he?
I really
he?
Do, but I agree with him wholeheartedly. And the NHL is sort of the best at that still, but it has gotten, you talk about it started with the Capitals years ago. It's Ovechkin, you know, he's the guy that really does that. But hockey is usually the breath of fresh air where it's really just celebrate with your teammates and then go back to the bench, and that's it.
No, I'm all for Cassie. You know what? You can ask him just about anything and he'll answer it.
That's true.
It is. It's amazing. He's so rare in that way. Like he will. He'll actually answer the question.
Okay.
Imagine that.
There's your Bruins minute. You want to weigh in on our Patriots stuff or the Bruins stuff? Two open lines at 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How important is it to have home ice in the first round to you? And if things continue to be this close, would you play Rask maybe a little bit more?
Very important, I think, to have home ice. It's not the be-all, end-all, but we saw last year, game seven is a big advantage. I think early in the series, teams can easily, you know, win, steal a game on the road and get one back. But it's game seven, I think, where you really want it. We're comfortable with Jarl. I mean, his numbers are very similar to Tuukka's. I think we're comfortable with both. Would we adjust it and go with the hotter hand at the end if need be? Absolutely. But we've kind of had a plan all year, and it's worked out for Tuukka well and Jarl, obviously, so we want to kind of stick with it. So it'll be close to a 10-7 type of split, but right now I think he's comfortable with his workload. He's feeling good about his game, but also his, you know, his kind of fatigue or fitness level.
Cassidy knows fatigue, fitness level. Gotta keep an eye on that with Rask. And he's also so right about the game 7 against Toronto. That's the only, I don't think home ice matters in hockey, but I think it matters game 7 against a team like Toronto, a team that hasn't won, not even sure if they really know how to win, shaky on D and in net. I think it matters. I don't think it matters in any other series against any other team, honestly. Honestly. I can't think of a single matchup where it would matter if they were home or road or the opponent was home or road. Toronto, Game 7, you want it home versus Maple Leaf Air Canada Center.
Because they would crap their pants, you're saying.
Yeah, that team is susceptible to crapping their pants. So maybe they would do it at home, too, if the crowd gets tight and everything gets tight.
Well, so that's what I wonder. I wonder if that's a game you'd be better off playing in their building.
Well, not the last couple we've seen with Toronto here, Maz. I don't know if you've noticed.
It's a good point.
A little bit of a third period situation with that team when they've played here in Game 7. No, I'm good with Game 7 against Toronto being here. I think that's worth it. It's not worth grinding Tuukka Rask into the ground, but it's worth paying attention to and getting that home game against Toronto. The rest, I'm not sure it really matters. All right, to your calls, as promised, everything here on the board. Joe in the car on the Bees. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Got to weigh in on the Bruins for a moment. I've been looking at them and watching them, and I got to tell you, this team right here is so strong after the first line, after the second line. They've got guys that are playing on the third line that could play on second line.
No, they don't.
But what's good about what I think they do, if this whole trickle-down thing works, I think it will.
Okay, so if Johansson's down on the third line, he might be a second liner on some teams. I think Coyle is a third line guy, and there's that fourth line is the classic crash hustle fourth line. No. I don't think
they're effective though, that fourth line.
Yeah, no, it's an excellent fourth line. But you bake any of those guys a top 6 4?
No, please no.
No way.
No.
And I'd say that on the third line too. No, they don't. It's not like they're bursting with so much talent that you have guys who should be playing in the top 6 who aren't. It's not that at all. I think they've just finally gotten to a place where they have some representative third line guys. Never mind the first two. No, the team's not overstacked with talent. I don't think that's the issue. Their strength is their experience and how they've been playing, and Bergeron, Char up the middle, and Krejci's play and McAvoy's play. Like it's all of that. It's not this glut of talent on the bottom two lines. Anthony on Cape Cod on the Patriots. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing? Yeah. First of all, you're so persistent with this Pasternak to the Krejci thing. You're completely wrong. He needs to go back with Bergeron for the balance. If you remember, one of Pasternak's last games he played against the Kings, Bergeron's 1,000th celebration, they allowed 4 goals. One was on the power play. The other 3 were with Pasternak and Krejci on the line. That line would be a defensive liability. You move Heinen down to the third line. Now you got a great team. If you really struggle scoring goals, you can adjust it at the time. But it's your best, Pasternak's best, and your best with him with Bergeron on the top line. That's number one.
Okay, well, tell Cassidy that, but go ahead.
Okay, well, he's going to find that they're gonna mess around with it. He doesn't have as much success with Krejci because Bergeron with the two-way play allows Pasternak to be very aggressive offensively without being a defensive liability. Let me just say real quick with Trey Flowers. And, you know, you got... First of all, the Josh Rosen thing, the guy's the biggest a-hole, and you never want him unless you want to light another fire under Brady's ass, okay? Trey Flowers is the best defensive lineman they've had since Seymour. 3 straight Super Bowls since he's played. He was injured his first year. 3 straight Super Bowls with this guy. He's your number one guy. They should franchise him, use that leverage to then sign him. If they lose him, it's a bad, bad thing, and you got to use your first-round pick on defensive line. And what about Andy Isabella, Mass? How do you like his combine?
Okay, so you just give me 14 things. Give it to Trey Flowers.
That guy was irritating.
Yep. Just real quick on the Rosen thing, the knocks against him, like, I feel like it's – I don't get it. Like, I feel like too much is being made about his cockiness. Don't you want a quarterback to be cocky? He said something along the lines of, there's 9 mistakes ahead of me when he got drafted 10 overall last year. He was kind of a spoiled rich kid. Like, those are red flags.
Well, this Will Greer – The West Virginia quarterback is saying the same crap. I'm the best quarterback in this draft. If I came out last year, I would have been the best quarterback in that draft. He's supposed to go in the third or fourth round. So
he had concussion issues at UCLA. That's the one real knock I can think of on Rosen.
I mean, again, I haven't seen their internal analysis. How does he see the field? Does he have the aptitude to pick up a pro system and play the pro game and read defenses and be smart? And like, that's what I care about. You know, I don't care about the off-field stuff unless he's a, you know, cat juggler, unless he's a really bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, is he football smart and can he process all that stuff? That's what I want to know. And if they think he can, then go get him. That's a great value. Guy drafted 10th overall just a year later, you get him for a second or third round pick. That's tremendous. I would absolutely do that.
No, but that guy knows that he's an a-hole and that, you know, Pasternak's more aggressive when Bergeron's in. Not only is he Scotty Bowman, he's Hank Stram, too.
Scott in Weymouth, quickly.
Oh, that guy bugged the crap out of me.
On the Bees. Go ahead, Scott.
What's up? I'll be quick. Thanks, Felger. Listen, here are my 3 lines, all right? And I'll get why tonight's a dangerous game. We're going to hit it in 30 seconds. Here we go. These are my 3 lines right now. with Pastrnak coming back. First line, Bergeron between Marchand and Heinen. Second line, Pastrnak between Coyle and DeBrusk. Third line, Krejci between Johansson and Backes.
I'm going to let you go. We're not demoting David Krejci to the third line after his best season in 5 years.
Did he have Pastrnak playing center on the second line?
I'm just going to let you go.
Okay? Holy crap, was that awful.
We're going to bring far more sanity to the program with our Marys. Here's Mary in Manchester. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Mike. I would take a chance on Rosen, only because we talk a lot about, you know, how much time Brady has left, but the truth is we don't know how much time Belichick has left.
Bingo.
And I think that, you know, it would be helpful to have someone under his tutelage, you know, sooner rather than later.
Bingo, Mary. Thank you, Mary in Manchester.
Oh, Mary, thank you for getting us back on the beam.
I want Bill coaching the next guy. So get the next guy in here. Or start trying. You know, I'm not saying you're going to hit every time, but, you know, you wasted a year last year. So the clock is ticking on Bill. I want Bill coaching and developing the next guy. So start bringing him in, for God's sakes.
They should I thought they should have taken a quarterback last year before Eddie Etling in the seventh round, for crying out loud. To me, so they should have. I would bring in multiple guys. I'd bring in one as a free agent, sort of a reclamation project, like Blake Bortles or Rosen, and I'd draft one too. I would bring in two.
Mary in Marshfield is next. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I agree with Cassidy. Do the flash mob on your own time as far as the celebrations. But we got to be real careful coming into these playoffs. Tonight could definitely be a tough one. For some reason, we have an issue with when we play with the Hurricanes. And having said that, at the very end of the last game, Marchand couldn't help himself. And he cross-checked it was at the very end of the game, and they had pulled the goalie, and he cross-checked, and I can't remember the guy's name. They didn't call it, but I'm telling you right now, we need to get Bergeron a shot caller, and every time he sees Marchand going at someone, zap him.
Shot collar. Dog collar. For
love the idea.
Marshmont.
Love it. Put up the little flags, too, around the guys that you can't hit. They're crying out loud, like whatever it is. Marchand goes near him, he gets zapped.
We have one of those for Marcus Smart anytime he wants to take an ill-advised
free. Another one, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I love that idea even better. Like, seriously, give that one to Stevens.
Oh, he'd be afraid to use it.
Yeah, he would be.
Okay, then give it to me.
Yeah.
Every time Smart says lining up at three, you press that sucker.
Patriots thoughts. Deadline for franchise tags are in 28 minutes. Reportedly, Pats aren't using one. Okay, so Trey Flowers, reportedly, head into the market. How do you feel about that? As is Gostkowski and Trent Brown. That's on the table. Who do you want the next quarterback to be? That's going to gain more steam here in the next week. We got Bruins stuff on the board. And coming up next, because we haven't done it yet this week, a Red Sox Minute. That's right. Remember them? A Red Sox Minute featuring Tony Maserati right after the update.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, Red Sox Minute with Maz. Start with the general baseball thing. Announced today that Jess Mendoza, ESPN analyst, has been hired by the Mets. In their personnel department, she'll do both jobs at the same time. How do you feel about that?
So am I the only one who looks at this and says, how is a media person hired by a team and allowed to keep the media job? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, it feels like a conflict of interest, yeah.
But big time. Again, think of the equivalent. Like, Zoe gets hired by the Patriots, he's still calling the games? Or you know what, and that's a bad example because he's a former player. He's a former player. Let me give you a better one.
Well, I mean, all these hometown broadcasters are technically employed by the team.
Okay, so that's a bad example. Sean McAdams hired by the Red Sox and still gets to cover him for the Boston Sports Journal? That's going to be okay?
Okay.
Are we ever going to read anything he says again with the same eye? So I look at Mendoza and say, now, so when she's on the games, what are we going to get on the Mets? Anything? She's going to talk about the Mets at all? It's different with a player. I give you a horrible example there with Zoe. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, I look at it and say, if it's any other media member, and that happens, don't we look and say, no, you got to give up the job. You can't do the games while you're working for a team. Now, how does that work?
Unless you're one of these hometown broadcasters, and the hometown broadcasters are approved. When I said they work for the team, in some cases they do, most cases they're approved by the team, or so that's sort of a bag. National guys working for a local team,
right? Exactly. I just think it's a. It feels to me like I call it borderline unprecedented. I can't remember another time where it has happened. Jimmy, you said something in my ear a second ago, but I didn't hear it.
Gordon Eads had to give up his job to go do Red Sox historian stuff.
Okay, so exactly. So, like, I just look at that and say, which one is it? You're either working in the media or you're working for one of the teams. It can't be both. And it's like, it's not a big deal. I'm not telling you that I, like, hate her like poison or anything. I don't even know her. And I actually think she does a pretty good job on TV, all things considered. I don't hate her like a lot of people seem to. You know, who seem defensive about the fact that there's a woman in the broadcasting booth. That doesn't bother me at all. But how is it that you take a job with a team you can still call the games?
That's item number one. Item number two, as we get closer to the season, it's becoming more and more clear the Red Sox won't have a closer. Headline in the Globe, could closer become a two-man job for the Red Sox? And they write, it's becoming clear Craig Kimbrel is not walking back through that door, so what's the approach? And they basically say, well, it's Brazier and it's Barnes, and the reason it's different than 2003, and what this is interesting, is that, you know, they did the bullpen by committee in 2003. It was a disaster from day one. Day one, walk-off home run in Tampa, right?
Chad Fox.
Okay.
I was there.
All right.
Disaster.
So was pitching coach Dana Lavangi, who was the bullpen coach in 03. So Dana Lavangi, your pitching coach, was there front and center. Who knows? Maybe even caught the home run in the bullpen. They probably have up and down the third baseline. Anyway, Lavangi's there. He saw it. But, of course, now Lavangi says it's a different time. Now they can do it. He says the difference now, just summing it up, is that Brazier and Barnes, who figure to be the ones splitting most of it, are used to coming into games in any situation. Last year, Barnes and Brazier got equal amount of time or, you know, a good amount of time in both the seventh and the eighth. And so they're used to coming in different innings in different situations. And therefore, this closer by committee is more likely to work because these guys already are used to the committee approach. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, am I a bad person if, say, I root for this to fail?
You're a bad person, but not because of this.
Okay, like I do. I look at it and say, I hate this whole sort of approach. Because, again, it's one thing to do it in the playoffs where you say it's a fire drill every night. We're just going all out to win games because everybody's focused on winning. During the regular season, it's different. It just is. First of all, I don't think Barnes is good enough to do it. But let's say that he is. Okay, now all of a sudden you're going to start yanking guys around based on, you know, save opportunities and parts in the lineup, and now everybody's value gets watered down. It's only a matter of time before the players figure that out and say, wait a minute, if I get 40 saves instead of two guys with 20, I'm worth five times more than what I'm making now.
Right.
So players are going to get pissed off. You cannot eliminate the human element. You can't eliminate it. So now, look, part of me, I admit, is intrigued because I think if anyone can pull it off, it might be Cora. It feels like he's got a knack for getting through to some of those guys. But again, and this is the old stodgy person in me, part of me hopes it fails miserably and that it is a spectacular failure and there's one bullpen explosion after the next. I hope it fails miserably.
It's playing with fire. We talked about it before. It's very cavalier. We had a weak bullpen last year, so we'll just have a weak bullpen again this year. And we proved we could overcome it last year, so we can overcome it this year. In fact, we'll make it even worse. We're so confident you can overcome a crappy bullpen, we'll make the thing worse. We'll take away the best pitcher from the bullpen and still have the same. So, like, that is really cocky, man, to think you can just keep doing that.
So I'm starting to wonder how much of this is Dombrowski and how much of it's Cora. Because all these stories with Cora go back to, boy, he was confident when he came from his interviews. John Henry says, almost too confident. Every time we hear Cora talk, he sounds, you know, again, as direct and blunt and confident as could be. You think last year was great, wait till this year, all this stuff. And so I wonder if Cora's sitting there saying, don't worry about it, I'll figure it out.
Okay, is it that, or you mentioned it the other day, money. They're up against that luxury tax, and to sign relievers puts them over, and so it's also a financial consideration. That's something to consider. Here's a third item, as I wanted to get to it. Corey yesterday, sort of out of nowhere, gets on Eddie Rodriguez. Rodriguez pitched two shutout innings against the Mets yesterday, but he lost a left-handed hitter after getting a 3-0 count on him, a light-hitting left-handed hitter, and he lost him. And so Cora didn't let him go out for the third inning. And Cora said, nope, not good enough. For him to go deeper into games, he needs to attack guys. His stuff is good. He's got some swings and misses. But those are the things that we need to get better, and he knows it. He says, at that point, I'm not going to send him back out there to face two hitters. He needs to get better. His stuff is really good. We have to be more efficient. And the whole point here is that, well, one of the few areas a team can improve is his starts, where he doesn't go deep and he taxes the bullpen. So they're really on Eddie Rodriguez this year to get longer outings and get on him. So you had a thought on those Cora comments.
So I love these comments from Cora. I loved. And again, look at their rotation. Yeah, but Porcello is not that he's old, but you know, he's getting up there and he gives him innings every year. But Sale has injury issues. Price is now creeping into his mid-30s. So you look at the whole thing and say they need more reliable innings out of Eddie Rodriguez. But to me, the overall thing with Cora, boy, talk about a guy who's turned the page. He met with the team early on in spring training, and he gave that speech that was out on Twitter and everywhere else, and we played some of the sound too, where he says, you know, usually you're turning the page after a bad thing. I want us to turn the page now. Time to focus on 2019. Now we're starting to ease into a part of camp here, the middle of camp, the dog days, where nothing's going on and guys can settle into sort of dull, ordinary routines and not be focused. And Cora calls this guy out. Oh, do I love that. It just feels to me like the manager is saying to them, guys, last year's over. There's still room for improvement. So this I like. I'm happy to see it because it feels like everybody else is content with 119 wins. So somebody needs to get them focused on 2019 because the season does start in 3 weeks.
119?
Well, I'm adding in the playoffs.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, 108 plus 11.
I forgot those t-shirts. That's right.
119 wins. I mean, that's a lot. No, you're not going to get analysis like that anywhere else.
The 119.
That's a lot of wins.
Those are some baseball items. Add them to everything else. Your calls, I promise, right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
To your calls, as promised, Rob in the recliner on the Sox. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. Yeah, with the whole Mendoza thing, that would be like the equivalent of or the inverse of Soucy doing Monday Night Football, replacing Witten, still doing the games.
I'm not sure if that's the right analogy either, but
it's
go.
Not.
Just go.
I have a couple of baseball questions for Maz. So, this kid Dawback, he's been in single A for 3 years and with a 900 OPS. What's he still doing down there? And about Chavis, does he play second at all? Because I have a feeling Pedroia's not going to last for 120 games.
Okay, Bobby Dalbec and Chavis.
Yeah, I'm not high on either one of them. Again, I think the Red Sox player development system sucks. I do. I just think that they, you know, to me, and I'm especially focused on the pitching part of it because positionally they're generally in good shape. You know, people pump up Dalbec. To me, anytime a guy stays in A-ball for 2 or 3 years, you sort of look at that and say, all right, like, where's that going? Chavis, as far as I know, is a third baseman and nothing more. So I have to admit, Chavis put up numbers after he came back from the PED suspension last year. I know he had a home run early in camp. It was opposite field.
Still feeling the positive effects from it.
Maybe.
Takes a while for you to cycle back down.
Maybe. I mean, so I don't know. I want to keep an eye on Chavis a little bit, but even then, I don't think there's much down there.
Yeah, let's just just popped in my head. Let's see what Edelman looks like next year. Here's Chuck in Boston. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, Felgie, shouldn't this be the year Tuca goes deep? I mean,
yep.
He went to the Cup final, shortened season, less amount of pucks at him, not as much of a grind with as many games started. What do you think?
Yep. And look, if the Bruins get into a series against Tampa and they're just not good enough, like last year they couldn't score, then that's not going to be Rask's fault. I mean, we'll call it as we see it. But the amount of clunkers that Rask throws up there, like in the first round against Toronto, he was taken out of one game, should have been taken out of game 7 probably. Did not play well in that series. And there's no excuse for that now. There's no excuse. He's gotten his rest. He's got a good team in front of him. Again, if he's this guy, then he'll perform well. And we'll see. I'm not going to rule that out. I'm not going to rule it out. The thing with me and him is, well, now if you're in a series where you are at a deficit, where Tampa has more talent, and you're going to need your goalie to steal you a game or steal you a series, it's not Tuca's fault if he can't, but it'd be nice if I could see him do that once. I don't feel like he's that guy. And I think they might need it. If you get into that series against Tampa, you might need that. So that's what I really want to see. Does he steal you a game? Dan in Quincy on the Red Sox. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, I think on the Rodriguez thing, I think Cora deep down inside loves Rodriguez. I love Rodriguez. I think he's going to emerge as one of the top 2 to 3 best pitchers of the season if he stays away from getting hurt. He got hurt last year, so that's a good sign. And with that, why don't they just ask Chris Sale if he'd be the closer? Would you have a problem with that, Tony?
I would, because I think he's got more value in the starting rotation. The other thing, Danny, is he going to do that in a contract?
Why would he ever agree to it when he's in line, Danny, to make $30 million a year as a starter? Why would he go back and make $15 as a closer?
Okay, well, first of all, he can't prove to me that he can pitch more than 5 2/3 in any one start, and he breaks down at the end of the season. This would actually help him, because he wouldn't throw as nearly as many pitches being a closer. You don't come in every night as a closer.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you. I mean, you might be right. Long-term for him, maybe. He ain't going to do that. He's a starter. He's never been paid what he's worth. This is his one chance to do it. He ain't going to go close unless you get into the postseason. Then he'll close. I just don't think it's realistic.
You'd be asking him basically to take a 50% pay cut.
No shot.
If he gets on the market as a starter and he's healthy, and look, what Danny said's right. You know, he has a durability problem. But if he gets on the market and he wins the Cy Young or something, he's going to make $32, $33 million a year.
Mike and Rivera, give me a Bruins thought.
All right, so everyone's pretty much playing up to where they need to be. A couple of guys on the Bruins are slouching, but, I mean, they're getting pretty good performance from everybody. But you guys have mentioned a couple of times that Brandon Carlo this year is a plus 12. His hits are way up. He's going to cut his giveaways in half, and he's going to double his takeaways this year. I mean, he's been such a rock back there and pretty healthy overall. He's only got 6 points, but he's been fantastic. That's my first point. My second one is, that Neanderthal idiot, Adam Jones, did you hear his comment that he made? I'm pretty sure it was last night. He was saying, you know, this streak with the Bruins, why does everyone keep saying 16 games? They've only won 3 in a row. He doesn't give any credence to the fact that they have points in 16 straight games.
Right.
And he's such a pain to listen to sometimes.
He calls it the pity point.
Yeah, pity point streak.
Pity point streak.
Oh, yeah, he doubled down with a tweet today, too, just a short time ago. The Bruins are, and he's using quotes, hottest team in hockey, yet somehow have a shorter winning streak than tonight's opponent. And he uses the emoji 3 times over.
What do you care? What do you care? Were you going to take the bait from Jones? What do you care if you're 14-0-2 or 15-1-1? Like, what's the diff? Who cares?
Pity point.
Who cares about the pity point and whether you have a real winning streak or a pity point streak? Or what's the diff? What do you care? You don't win anything for this. You get exactly squat out of this. You want to have home ice against Toronto, that's fine. But what does it matter to you what your streak is?
Neanderthal Jones.
He is unbelievable, though. He is
pity point.
Dr. Death. Dave in Maine on Maz's point about Jess Mendoza. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Maz, I know you were really looking forward to your unbiased analysis every 2 times the Mets are on Sunday Night Baseball this year. But the guy working next to her, A-Rod, is a special advisor for the Yankees. David
Ross really?
Is a special advisor for the
Okay, if you do that again to your phone, Maine.
So again, former players, though. Like, I don't, to me, that's sort of different. David Ortiz works for Fox.
No, okay, but is A-Rod a special advisor to the Yankees?
I think so.
So
David Ortiz needs some sort of consultant for the Red Sox? special assistant to the GM.
He is so. Okay. So that's similar to Jess Mendoza.
No, it isn't.
Why not?
Because she was a media person first. She wasn't a player. There's no gray area there about where Rodriguez's loyalties lie. Whether he's cashing a check for the Yankees or not at the moment, he was a Yankee. He's going to be biased toward the Yankees, just like Ortiz is biased toward the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, at least Pedro's not biased towards the Red... Oh. Pedro Martinez basically takes off his pants and gets naked at the desk for the Red Sox on TBS. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, so again,
he's such a homer. Tommy Heinsohn looks at him and go, boy, that guy's a homer.
Which is why I say again, the former player thing, like, it kind of is what it is. Like, there's no way around that. There aren't many guys that you know, play for an organization and then go on TV and rip that organization. It just doesn't happen. He played for him, so you're going to get a biased account. But a media person who goes to work for a team and is allowed to keep the media job? Since when? I'm not telling you I'm losing sleep over it, because I'm not. If the Red Sox hire Sean McAdam, you think I'm going to read McAdam when he's writing about the Red Sox? No chance. Because anything he says will be bullcrap.
Adam and Lowell on the Kraft Investigation. Hi, Adam.
Hey, it's Felger. I agree with your point that the owners might look at Robert Kraft and be like, Robert, what are you doing, guy? But he'd have every right to look back at them and be like, hey, you dummies, I make you a lot of money. And second off, okay, I'll step down. Who's going to take over my spot? Haslam? Oh, wait, you're under investigation by the feds. Let's see, Irsay, you're an addict. Let's see. Oh, the Arizona Cardinals during a rebuild. Oh, we let our coach go after 1 year, even though we're rebuilding. How about Shad Khan and his nifty mustache? No, come on. He'll look back at them and go, quiet down, mind your own business. I'll take care of mine. Thank you, guys.
All right, well, what, Shad Khan isn't a sharp guy or a shrewd negotiator or someone you'd want leading you because of his mustache?
Now, that's a bad example, but Ziggy Wilf for the Vikings, he's a crook. Same with the owner of the Browns, he's a crook.
No question, I'm not putting Mark Davis in charge of the Duncan run. Never mind negotiating a TV deal or anything like that.
Guys, I spent it all on Munchkins.
Believe me, there are plenty of bozos among that group. Spalding, Smales, inbred morons in that league. No question about it. But it's not all of them. I mean, you're saying Robert's the only able guy to negotiate a contract? I don't believe that, Adam. I believe there's other guys who are able to negotiate a contract other than Robert Kraft. So don't delude yourself with that. It's not 31 other imbeciles. Maybe 20 other imbeciles. But there's a handful of guys who know what they're doing. Maybe he won't lose power. I'm just telling you, if he loses power, just discussing the earlier story, it won't be because of the Hojo. It'll be because the owners look at him and say, where's your judgment? Have you lost focus? Because the spa thing might just be the tip of the iceberg. You've been running around pretty good, Robert has been. And so maybe they look at him and say, if you're going to be that reckless, can we trust you to lead us on these negotiations like we have in the past? I think that's on the table. That's on the table. It's not because they're going to moralize and say, I can't believe you did that. They're going to look at him and say, do you still got all your marbles? All right, we put off the Kyrie NBA drama for 2 full hours. You want to get to it? You want to do one more? Of Kyrie Free Radio.
No, I'm pretty much ready to get to it.
Okay, let's get to this guy, Mr. Happy Kyrie Irving and the Celtics, right after Murray's 90-second update. The deadline has passed for franchising players. What did the Patriots do? Murray will give you that update right here. Again, 90 seconds, no spots, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island.
the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.